Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
This program is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries, Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As always, I want to start by thanking you, our listeners. We are very grateful for your encouragement and support. Please remember that you can always visit our website for materials to encourage and support you in your Christian walk. And if you miss an episode of the show, you can go to our website, download the podcast or MP3 of our broadcast, and listen to it there. Details can be found on our website, www.gncmgoodnewschristianministries.ca. This morning's sponsor, Sandy Davidson, wants to call out a salute to Christian Counseling Ottawa, or CCO, which is a registered charity that has been healing hearts and homes in the Ottawa area for over 40 years. Thank you, Sandy, for your sponsorship of this program and for your appreciation of the other Christian ministry, Christian Counseling Ottawa, that has been serving us so well all these years. Today, as I speak to you, I speak as someone who's recently returned from a mission trip to Cambodia and had a really wonderful experience there with a team of people from Redeemer Alliance Church in Orleans. And the scripture I want to share with you and the message I want to share are connected to that trip to Cambodia. The scripture is from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 7. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that did not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." This is the word of the prophet Isaiah, spoken hundreds of years before Jesus Christ came and offered a gospel to the whole earth. But even in this prophecy, the people of Israel are promised that nations that they don't even know will hasten to them because of the Lord their God. And this is the truth that we see in the mission work of the church today. Well, we'll take a further look at that passage and the experience that I've had in Cambodia in a few moments. But first, I'd like you to listen with me to the song, "This Is My Father's World," sung by Mark Schultz from his album simply titled Hymns.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me. Of rocks and trees of sky. His hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres.
It's one of the fundamental principles of the faith that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The whole earth is made by God. The universe is made by God. There may be debates in Christian circles about how that creation happened and how long it took, but the ultimate truth is that God is the creator of all things. The earth isn't divided into territories that belong to different gods. There is but one true God, and He, the Lord and Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is the one God who rules all the earth and who reaches out to save the whole earth. So when Isaiah was speaking in the passage that I just read earlier, he was speaking to the people of Israel and reminding them that they needed to turn to the true God. When he speaks about being thirsty and people buying bread that doesn't satisfy, he wasn't really talking about the material needs of the people of Israel. He was speaking about the way they were turning to idols and false gods, and they were spending their energy, devoting themselves to things that were not God, that could not help them. And he encourages them, eat what is good. Your soul will delight in the richest of fare. So he's saying to a people of Israel who had gone astray from the worship of the true God, that they could turn back to that to him, the true God, that they could turn back to him and be satisfied. Not only that, he goes on and says, I've made your king, David, a witness to all the peoples. And so nations that you don't know will come looking for the God that you are now worshiping. So this promise is not just to Israel, that there's a bread, a spiritual bread that will satisfy, but it's to the whole world. Well, in the early part of the month of July, I was in Cambodia with a team of 10 people. Five of them were youth and five of them were adults. And we went to help with a program that the Cambodian Missionary Alliance Church is carrying on year after year of teaching English to students of all ages, and primarily students from rural areas, both in the churches in the rural areas and as those students start to go to college and so on in the larger cities. The church is providing a dormitory for them so they can afford to go and get an education and build a future for them and their families. And also in those dormitories, teaching them English during the year. And during the summer, Christians from all parts of the world, but primarily North America, come into these situations and help the students to practice conversational English, help to teach some of the principles of speaking English in an understandable and fluent way. And it's really wonderful, even though we're only there for a short time, to be able to contribute to the long-term work of the Cambodian church. The amazing thing is to see the gospel at work in the lives of all kinds of people. When you're on a short-term mission trip, and it's something that I do highly recommend to Christians to get a chance to see how the gospel is being lived out in so many parts of the world. When you go on one of these short-term trips, you see people who have embraced the gospel and who are pursuing the gospel. You see the Cambodian, in this case, the Cambodian Christians, the Cambodian pastors, missionaries from all kinds of places, and your own team, people from your own community and people from other North American communities coming for a short time. And all of their lives are filled with the testimony of the difference that God makes, of the way that God satisfied their deepest need, the way he fed them with his word and the way he satisfied their thirst, refreshing them with his grace and his love. In Cambodia, we're looking at a country that went through some very difficult times. In its recent history, back in the 1970s, a leader named Pol Pot came and ran a very tyrannical reign over the people, driving them out of the cities, killing off anybody who had an education because he was afraid that educated people would be able to rally people in opposition to what he was doing. He was returning people to what he considered to be their agrarian roots, but he was sending them out without tools and without learning, without understanding. And so many people died just from being driven into situations they couldn't survive, and so many people were killed. In the Cambodian church in which I was serving, a few people were pointed out to me by another member of another team who had been there a few times. He pointed out to a family that had come from California. They were descendants of a fellow who had been killed in the killing fields of Cambodia. Their grandfather had died at the hands of the Khmer Rouge. But at that same table was another person who had survived the Khmer Rouge, a pastor who had been taken when he was a child, before he was even a Christian, taken as a child with his village out to a field where a big pit had been dug, and every one of them was hit in the back of the head with an axe and fell into the grave that had been dug for them. He didn't die. He regained consciousness and crawled out from among the bodies of his village and escaped into the forest. He had lived a life of great bitterness and anger and hatred until the gospel of Christ came and began to heal him and turn him into the person, into the pastor that he was today. And another person at that same table had been a general in the Khmer Rouge until Christ had grasped his life, turned him around, caused him to repent of his evil and start serving the Lord. Can you imagine those three groups sitting at a table together, a former Khmer Rouge general, a survivor of the atrocities, and the children of someone who had been murdered by the Khmer Rouge, all sitting together, reconciled by God because of Jesus Christ. The gospel works. The gospel, the word of God, the good news of salvation, changes people's lives, heals people of the injuries they've suffered, turns people from the evil they have done, and causes people to forgive as they themselves have been forgiven. How wonderful and glorious just to see so many people that had been turned around in dramatic ways. And those testimonies were true of some of the people who were missionaries, who were coming from other countries to help the Cambodian church. They were people who had gone through the same kind of struggles that all Christians go through, trying to discern what God wanted them to do with their lives, trying to understand how to overcome their own insecurities, their weaknesses, how to see that they could be used by God in a powerful way. And after going through all those struggles, here they were in Cambodia, making a difference in people's lives. It was very beautiful to be in Cambodia, to see the rice paddies and the agriculture, to see the industry that was going on. It's wonderful to see how that country is recovering. And you know, in the past 20 years, that country has seen the gospel grow immensely. 20 years ago, 0.5% of Cambodians were Christians. Today, 2% are Christians. Now, that may seem like a small change. That's doubling the church every 10 years for the last two decades. That's an amazing testimony to the power of the gospel to reach people who very much needed help and direction in their lives. People who are serving the church there now, Cambodians who have come to Christ, are now reaching out to their neighbors, not just with the gospel, but also with programs like this English program and computer skills programs to help children have an opportunity to have a future that is in a good industry, in a good job, because so many of the rural Cambodians, as they grow up, end up migrating to the cities and entering into the sex trade simply because there's no other way for them to be able to support their families back home. Now they have options because the church is reaching out with their love and compassion. It's beautiful to see. And this is the work not of some external organization, but of the Cambodian Christians themselves who have called upon other Christians in other parts of the world to help them meet the need that they have seen and they have discerned in the Spirit and the Word of God. It's been a wonderful experience there, and I want to speak about that some more. But I do want to have you listen to another song that speaks about the power of God's love. This one's sung by Carolyn Ahrens from her album Seize the Day, and it's simply titled The Power of Love. For me, the experience of seeing God's power to save was just incredible going to Cambodia this past month. But God's power to save isn't limited to mission fields in far off and beyond. Even this scripture which we read this morning from Isaiah was not God speaking to the far-off nations to come to him and receive the blessings of God, but it was to his own people, people who probably thought themselves to be doing quite well, but he was reminding them of the importance of turning to him, turning to God, to find the peace and the grace and the satisfaction that only God's salvation can give. So we are invited by this scripture to ask ourselves, what are we spending our time on? Are we spending our labor and our effort on things that do not satisfy? What takes up our day? What takes up our moments? God invites us to spend our day pursuing him and doing his will, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He invites us to do this because he knows that this is what we were made for. The righteousness of God, which involves not simply personal purity, but also serving your neighbors, loving your enemies, helping strangers, finding ways to show the blessing of God to others in practical ways. And of course, to pursue God through his word and through prayer. To spend that time asking the questions of God that you so often ask yourself. Sometimes, in fact, I was recently talking to someone whose prayer was a very formal kind of exercise where he prayed the Lord's Prayer and some graces and evening prayers that he had learned, and found out that there was some concern in his life about the things he was going through, but his prayer life didn't have any way of expressing that. So I encouraged him to look at the Psalms and see how the psalmists sought God even when they were angry, even when they were frustrated with God, even when they were doubtful about God. They knew that the only one who could meet their need was God. And so even though they were feeling out of sorts in their spiritual life, they still cried out and were honest with God about the emotions and the difficulties they were facing. In every psalm, they come to a place where they realize that God is listening. God hears their complaint and their cry, and God is a God who is able to help them. We are called to come to God, and he offers us this blessing. He doesn't threaten in this passage. He doesn't, in this passage, give dire warnings. Instead, he says, "Are you thirsty? Come to the waters. Are you hungry? Come to me. Are you laboring and heavy laden?" Just as our Lord Jesus says later in his ministry, "If you're weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest." And so this word that I've seen to be true in my own life, that I've seen to be true in my ministry here in Rockland and in other parts of Canada, and that I've seen again to be true in Cambodia, this gospel, this truth that God will meet our needs, our spiritual needs, is again offered to all of us in Jesus' name. Let's turn to God in prayer and ask him for help in this area. Almighty God, if we've been drinking from fountains that don't give clean water, if we've been eating food that doesn't satisfy, if we've been pursuing other goals and purposes in life, hoping to make ourselves happy, if we've been neglecting you, we confess that and we repent and turn away from that. Help us now to pursue you again, to find the water that truly quenches thirst, to find the bread that truly satisfies our need. It is you, Jesus. You are the true vine. You are the true bread of life. And to you we turn in our need. Thank you, Lord, that you receive all who come to you, that all who call upon your name are saved, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts, then we are saved. Lord, glory be to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, once again, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your encouragement and support. We thank you because you keep us on air week by week. You keep us on air with your prayers, with your words of encouragement, with your support. We do want to encourage you to support our ministry financially. Good News Ministry is only one major cost, and that's the cost of this broadcast. The hosts are volunteers, and so are the people who take care of our website, organize our events, and operate our board. Your gift can help us continue to meet that one vital expense of the radio broadcast, and that enables us to reach you and over 7,000 listeners in the Ottawa River Valley. If you can, please make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Post Office Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0, and we will be happy to send you a receipt at income tax time. I also want to encourage you to tell others about this program. Be sure to worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. And now, to conclude our program, I would like to have you listen to a song called How Majestic Is Your Name, sung by Maranatha Music from their 1990s worship album. I do pray that the Lord will hold your heart and you would know Jesus personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may the Heavenly Father surround you with His constant and abiding and accompanying love.
News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.